Heavenly Father, on this day, this Mother's Day, most of all, I thank you for Jesus who makes the life, our lives, worth the living. I thank you, secondly, Father, for the beautiful, intelligent, capable wife and mother of my children that you gave me, Lord. You gave me Beverly, the most godly woman that I know. For all eternity, I will always hear her singing the songs of praise to you as she works around the house doing busily the home duties and chores. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into this service today to honor mothers by calling their children to a saving relationship with you, dear Jesus. Amen. Okay, am I on up there? A little bit louder, I believe. Okay, that's a little bit louder. That's about right. That's about right. We're going to take a look at honoring mothers today. Now, I've had a strange experience. Well, it's not strange. About 3 Wednesdays ago, I couldn't sleep on a Wednesday night after leaving here. Nothing to do with anything. I wasn't upset. I wasn't troubled or anything like that, but couldn't sleep very well. When I finally did go to sleep, about 3 weeks ago, this took place. You see, I'm never the preacher that preaches a warmed over sermon. I don't believe in them. It's just not my style. But during that night, about 2:30 in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up. And the Lord Jesus himself poured this message that I'm about to give to you today into my heart. And he began to give me outline. He began to give me exactly what to say and how to say it. And so I began to work on this message about 3 weeks ago. Beverly's not with me today because when I'm not here, I'm speaking at a large group at Ridgecrest in Springfield. And she's the administrator of that group. And that's the reason she's not with me today. But I want you to know, I honor her as the mother of my children, the most wonderful mother that I could have ever found to be the mother of my children. Today's message that the Lord gave me is coming in three spheres of presentation for honoring mothers. The first sphere that the Lord gave me is for fathers who have wives that are mothers, and those wives that are about to become mothers. The second phase, the second group that the Holy Spirit gave me is for mothers that, for those who have mothers that are living. The third phase, the third sphere that the Holy Spirit gave me is for mothers, for those of you who have mothers who have gone on to be with the Lord. Never heard a message like this from any preacher. It just came from the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at these different spheres that the Holy Spirit has given me. First, I might ask you, what is the most common building material that we might use in this area? Well, it might be bricks. It might be rocks. It might be siding. It might be aluminum. It might be bricks. I don't know what it might be that we build our houses with around here, but homes are different. Homes are built on relationships, and especially that relationship with mother. Godly mothers make a positive impact on the home, and they've been doing that since the beginning of time. Now, God's Word teaches us to honor our parents. And these commands involve more than mere expression of sentiment or naturally feeling good toward them, but rather we are commanded by God to honor our parents, our mother, and our father. This is a commandment that God has given to us. Now, that when we do that, we are in obedience to God himself, and we're blessed in a wonderful way. And so, the very first sphere of presentation that I want to give to you today is for husbands whose wives are the mothers of their children or have wives that are mothers to be. In Proverbs 31:28, the Bible says, "Her children arise, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." In Proverbs 31:12, "She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." Stand with me now for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 31. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I want you to see here that the Apostle Paul has a very high view of marriage, a high and holy view. I want you to note that it is God's word that cleanses us, and it is God's word that cleanses the home. And it is the responsibility of the husband to be sure that that home is cleansing the wife and the home with God's word. Notice that he is to sacrifice everything for her, and he is to protect her and care for her as his own body. Now, beginning again, verse 29. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, this message is for mothers, but I want for husbands who have wives that are mothers, but I want to say one thing to all wives. You see that word respect? That's what your man needs. You must unequivocally give that man your respect and let him know that you respect him. If you do, he will cherish you and hold on to you as never before. And so I continue. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The husband's role is to anticipate everything that she needs and be sure that he meets her needs. So it is according to Ephesians, the word of God. Now, I'm sorry to say that in my many years of pastoring and counseling people, I've had to sit across many times a mother from a mother, a wife, and I've had to listen to her say these words to me as she sobbed uncontrollably. Many times I've had this experience. She's sobbing uncontrollably, and she says to me, "He said he would cherish and protect me all the days of my life, and now he has found another woman." Let me tell you that that is anathema to God. That is anathema to God. And that if you want to commit financial and spiritual suicide, you go that way. But it is not God's way. And so it is that we have the Word of God making clear to us in these times things that we need to know. Now, there's a weird philosophy that's going on among young adults today. I think it's the most weird philosophy that I've ever heard. You see, some young adults today, when they get a girlfriend or they propose to a young woman, they're going to marry her, they see her as the designated driver while they overindulge in alcohol. Let me tell you that that is not the Word of God. Let me tell you that the Word of God is very clear by this passage of Scripture. You, the husband, are the designated protector of that woman and of that home. That is your role. It is not her role. And so it is that God's Word makes this very clear to us. Look with me at verse 25 and 29 of the Scripture we just read. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. You are to protect her, and if necessary, you are to give your life to protect her. And so it is. I want to take a look at the virtues of godly women, of godly mothers. First of all, let me say that Proverbs 31:15 says she is diligent. Listen to this. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Also, Proverbs 31:20 tells us she is filled with compassion. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Also, she is dedicated to her family. Proverbs 31:21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed with scarlet. And then in Proverbs 31:30, we find that she is devoted to the Lord. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She knows her first ministry is to the home, and the home is the first church, and she understands that her husband is the pastor in that first church of the home, and she understands that she is the assistant pastor in that first church called the home. Now let me say this. A husband must never forget that a godly wife and mother is his treasure from the Lord. Proverbs 31:10 says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more than rubies. She's the treasure, fellas. She's the treasure, husband, that God gave you. Now, I ask you a question. How tough is it to manage a household in this day and this time? It's really tough. It is. She must be a wife that is tough physically. She must be a wife and mother that is tough mentally in order to manage that budget today. Oh, I love the bluebirds that we have here. I've loved them in Tennessee, my last assignment where I came from, and I love the bluebirds here. I love them. I love to watch them build that nest. I love to watch them guard over that nest. I love to watch them when those babies come, as they come and feed those babies. Just like a good mother who watches over her family and makes sure that all of the little children's needs are met. Now let me give you some advice according to Pastor Philip. And the advice is this, young men and women and the rest of you fellas as well. Don't mess with the nest. Don't mess with the nest. She's the queen in the nest. You remember that. That's real important. Well, it's tough to manage, and she does it. You know what the highest title is today that a mother has? You know what it is? It's not CEO. It's not even becoming president of the United States. It's not even wife. It is mother, mother, mother. Often, as I've talked to other chaplains who are older than I, they tell me that in World War I, they tell me that in World War II, they tell me that in Vietnam and in Korea and even in Afghanistan, that those young 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old young men, as they gave their life and lay dying on the battlefield, they would say, mother, 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 and then there was silence. I want to share with you what makes a woman beautiful. It's another quote from Pastor Philip. Okay? All right, here it is. You know what makes a woman beautiful? You know what makes a woman beautiful? I see so many beautiful women in this church. It's not her weight. It's not her shape. It's not her height. It is whether or not she has the Spirit of the Lord in her. And I see the Spirit of the Lord in so many of these fine mothers in this church. And so what I'm saying to you, oh, there's another quote. I don't want to, it's on the back of your bulletin. I got to give you these Pastor Philip quotes because I'm a short timer. You may not remember much else. Here it is. Here it is. Where there are no Bibles, there are stars. And where there are no preachers, there are mothers. So I close this session, this sphere of fathers who have wives that are mothers. I close it by saying this. Husband, encourage the treasure of a wife, the mother of your children, that God has given you. Now, I'm going to do something very unusual, but I've done this with Beverly, and I want to do, the Holy Spirit told me to do this with you and that in that early morning hour, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask you husbands and wives, if you're here with your husband and or your wife, and those who are not, you take note of this, and when you get home or when you see that husband, You tell him what Pastor Philip did. I want the husbands and wives to stand. Come on. Now I want you to take, husband, I want you to take that wife's hands in your, I want you to face her and take her. Is she back there? You get over there. Find her, fellas. Find her. You can't be anywhere else. If you are anywhere else, when she gets home, you're in trouble. You take her hands and you look her straight in the eyes and you say this to her. You say this. Ready? All right. If I had it to do all over again, I would definitely choose you. Thank you. You may be seated. Pray for your wife. She needs your help. She needs the Lord's help. Ask the Lord to help her with whatever problems she faces and the administration of that home. Now that was for husband whose wives are mothers. The second sphere of honoring mothers is for those whose mothers who are living. It's found in Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 12th verse. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then Proverbs 31:26-31. She speaks with wisdom. Now we're describing the living mother, all right? She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you suppress them all. Charm is deceptive. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring praise at the city gates. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. When I ask you the question, I'm going to pause. And the reason I'm going to pause is the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. He's going to bring to mind some remembrances. First question is this. How old were you when you started walking? I heard Beverly the other day. She got a call from one of the great-grandchildren's mothers. And they were talking about when her children would begin to walk. And without a second's hesitation, Beverly began to tell her exactly when our two boys, each one of them, at what age they began to walk. You see, I want to point out something to you. A mother never forgets your milestones, your progresses, your successes, your failures. Your mother was co-creator with God for 9 months. Never forget that. Now, let me tell you something else. If you want advice, if you need advice, you go to your mother. You don't go to your friends because your friends will tell you what you want to hear because they want to stay your friends. But your mother wants to save your life. Your mother cares for you much more than that bluebird mother cares for its young. And she will tell you the truth. And it'll be truth with the wisdom straight out of the book of Proverbs. So, pay attention to what she says and how she says it. You see that mother on television recently in the Baltimore riots? Did you see that? She began beating that boy, hitting him and forcing him back, forcing him away. She found her son in that crowd. And with what she did by hitting him and forcing him back to the house, she could very well have saved his life. One thing I know for sure, when he looks back on this one day, he will understand that she saved his future. And he won't be in jail. He won't be in prison like some of his comrades will be. You see, that mother loved that child so much that if a rocket hit her in the head, she would have forfeited her life And yes, I say this, she should be named the Mother of the Year. Good mother passes on her skills. We're talking about mothers who are living. This is for those of you whose mothers who are living. She teaches the daughters and sometimes the son how to cook. That's a new day here, isn't it? Well, Beverly was one of 8 girls, and all of them were the finest cook that any man could have. 8 girls, and no separations and no divorces in the family. I tell you what, when we sit down together, it's a wonderful time of fellowship. There's enough negativity in the world. Encourage your mother. Give her a call. Visit with her and thank her for what she's passed down to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you should say to her. Trust the Holy Spirit, but call her or write that card or send that letter. Do something today that says, Mother, I love you beyond words can say. I had an interesting experience this week. Normally when I get through on Wednesday mornings and along about 1 or 2 o'clock, Beverly and I make it to the cafeteria there in Springfield. And I saw the most amazing thing from a Marionville mother and daughter. I saw a lovely daughter that was bringing her mother, took her mother to that same cafeteria, and they were having lunch. And this lovely daughter and this lovely mother had come together, and she was honoring her mother by taking her to lunch early for Mother's Day. That's a wonderful thing to see, and a wonderful mother and daughter. But I could say that many times in this church. I could say that many times. Well, mothers are to be remembered in such a special way, and I thought that was special. Well, some of you got up this morning and you had to get the children ready to come to church, didn't you? Yep, you did. I know you did. Memories of my mother flood in my mind as I read Proverbs 31. I recall her walking with me when I was just a child, maybe 2 years old, and I remember her praying as we walked along together. I remember the birthday cakes she furnished me as a child. She demonstrated her love for us by continually fixing good things, and she thought that we liked serving them to me and to the children. And Beverly's mom was the same way. She demonstrated love and concern for her children and grandchildren. Yes, my family's been blessed with godly mothers on my side and on Beverly's side, who showed joy demonstrating their love for God and for the children. So you got ready for church this morning. You had to get the children ready. Beverly's one of 8 girls. 8 girls. They went to church every Sunday morning. I tell you, you should have seen that scene. I've heard about it. I didn't see it. But I understand they got them all ready, and they went to that Northwest Baptist Church there in Miami, Oklahoma, and there were children in the floorboard. There were children in the front seat. There were children in the back seat. And there was even one whose space was the window of that land back there. But they got them ready, and they were on time in church and in worship every Sunday morning. And that gave me a godly wife and a godly mother of my children. And so it is that we have to make some sacrifices sometime to get here on time. But let me say this, be helpful to your mother. She still has many responsibilities and duty. Just because she's someone that's a little older, don't think that she's not thinking of you all the time. Don't do anything that would bring embarrassment to her or to yourself. You can help her most by taking care of yourself. And then I ask you to give her the greatest gift that you could ever give a mother. You tell her this, Mother, all the days of my life, I will worship Jesus and love him with all my heart. I will accept him and I will live for him. You tell her that and you will have given her. You just well forget about buying presents because you've just given her the whole bank. You've given her everything that her heart desires. Well, so I close with that. Be grateful to her. Express appreciation to her for what she has done for you to make your life meaningful and purposeful. I close with that sphere of honoring the mothers that are living. That brings me to the third sphere of mothers that the Holy Spirit gave me. the sphere of honoring the mothers for those of you whose mothers have passed on and are now in heaven. John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I love the King James. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Now, you may think this is a really strange scripture for Mother's Day, but you will soon understand it fully. I'm going to ask you some more questions. I want you to think, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Do you remember, what is it that you remember most about your mother? When I was pastoring in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the fine Brookside Baptist Church at 36 in Peoria there, in the middle of the town, Oral Roberts was down one way doing the preaching, and up north of me was the First Baptist Church of Tulsa, and it was a great ministry, a wonderful ministry. But, you know, my mom and dad lived in Miami, Oklahoma, and so I would travel to Miami, Oklahoma when I got a little time off. I hardly ever got to spend time with family at family events because I was pastoring a church and I was hooked up nearly 24 hours a day. The phone rang all the time. You're getting ready to get a new pastor. Give him time for his family. Don't think of yourself only. You take care of him and you give him time for his family and his wife. You need to do that. Well, let me tell you, though, when I did get to go home and see Mom and Dad, Mom would tell me this. She would say, I'm praying for you every Sunday, every day I'm praying for you. And then when she took a rest, I would watch her fold her hands in prayer and go to sleep even praying for me. I can still see her when she took that nap, folding her hands in prayer, laying her head on the couch. What was the favorite food that she fixed for you? The Holy Spirit's telling you, isn't it? Sometimes it's cherry pie. Sometimes it's something else. All different ones. All different ones. It's coming to your mind. Well, I remember the way that my mother fixed bacon for me and my children. Now, it wasn't just regular bacon, folks. No, in those days, we had what was called a pork belly or a salt pork. And she'd take that and she'd wrap that up in flour. And then she'd deep fry that. And I want to tell you that me and my children and Beverly, we could never get enough of that particular dish. It was good. Very good. I remember when I was a teenager. We didn't have money for me to eat at the school cafeteria. Fact is, we were a poor family and I moved almost every year as I was at a different elementary school or somewhere. I remember coming home for lunch, and when I'd come home for lunch, Mother would have beans and cornbread done. And I tell you what, those some of those wonderful beans and cornbread that I just loved them. And I've not had any beans and cornbread like that since. And I'd sit down with my dad for dinner, and we'd listen to Bob Wells, and we'd eat the best cornbread and beans that I've ever eaten in my life. Oh, could she make the biscuits? I tell you, I loved her biscuits that she made from scratch. You know, they were crisp and they were, you know, about like that. And they were just so delicious. They're not like the dough balls that you get at restaurants today. Oh, the wonderful cook my mom was. A wonderful cook. You remember the cookies and the milk or the snacks she made that was ready for you when you got home from school? You remember that? Do you remember? Do you remember when you got that terrible cold and you couldn't hardly breathe and you just, you know, you didn't know what to do with it and she came and she sat by your bed and she opened that Vicks bottle. She took that and she massaged that all over your chest and up around your neck and all of a sudden, you know, you begin to breathe just a little bit better and, you know, Mom didn't even want you to have to struggle to breathe. She cared for you. She loved you so very much. Oh, yes, I was one of those children that, you know, I really had a hard road to go. I tell you what, I think it was either 35 cents or 50 cents I got for the weekend as my allowance, and I would go to the swimming pool. First, I'd go get me a hamburger at Pop's place, and then I'd go on to the swimming pool. And at that time, it still does. Miami has, if you ever get a chance to see it down there, it has one of the best swimming pools in the country. And I was one of those young children, young men, that, you know, I had those heads full of mush. And so I would go to that. I'd go early in the morning. Right after I had my hamburger, I'd hit that swimming pool. And I stayed all day long right out there in the bright sun. You know, a redheaded person shouldn't do that. And then that night I came home, I remember it like it was yesterday. I tell you, I was beet red. There were blisters all over my back. And my mom sat there all night long. She put oils on me. She put cream on me. She made it somewhat where I could rest a little bit, you know. But I had done that to myself. Do you remember? Do you remember what she did for you? I remember one day. Again, my head's so full of mush, you know. I saw this big kind of ditch beside a house, and I was about half a block away from home, and it was full of leaves. Oh, I saw those. You kids pay attention to this. I saw this full of leaves, and boy, I thought that'd be like a trampoline, you know. And so, boy, I run over there, and I jumped right in the bed, right in that pile of leaves. What I didn't know was there was a fruit jar about this long. It was cracked exactly in half and laying open. And I cut my left foot from toe to heel, like that. Well, of course, it scared me to death. I hopped all the way home on one foot. Everywhere I left, a little old pile of blood right there. Half a block. When I got home, Mama, she called a cab right away. She got me in a taxi, and she rushed me to the emergency room, and that's a memory from the past. And I'm sure that I brought many memories, or that the Holy Spirit's brought many memories to you today. We're speaking again about mothers, for those whose mothers are in heaven today. Now, I must speak of this, and I do not know why. Why I must do it. But I remember the day that my father died. I remember every detail. I was pastoring at the Brookside Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was a fine church. wonderful people. And I remember getting that telephone call from the hospital there in Miami, Oklahoma. You better come quick. He's going to pass. Your father's going to pass. I drove that 100 miles at 100 miles an hour trying to get there. When I got there, I rushed up to the hospital room and I looked in where he was supposed to be, and there was an empty bed. Don't you ever make that mistake. I should have been there in my heart. Anyway, there was an empty bed. And I said to one of the nieces who was leaving, I said, "Where is he?" And she said, "They've already taken him." I drove that mileage to Welch, Oklahoma from Miami, all across those crazy curves like a fool does. And I arrived at that funeral home, and I burst into that door where the family's undertaker and his wife were having their lunch. And I said, "Where's my dad?" And I saw him. He pointed in there. I went in there. A sheet was laying across him, and his eyes were closed. I'll never forget that last time I saw him. I remember the funeral for my dad. I remember every detail about it. I remember the music. I remember the message. I remember the wonderful people from Brookside Baptist Church that came and sat by me while I sobbed uncontrollably. I remember 6 weeks later, I was at Miami Baptist Hospital again, this time with Mother. Beverly and I went in to pray with her. It's coming out of that hospital room, and I met our fine doctor, our family doctor. He said to Beverly and I, he said, I don't understand it. I do not understand it. She should have passed a long time ago. She's waiting on something. When he said that, instantly the Holy Spirit told me what it was. You see, I had always taken Dad to the nursing facility, and when I would take him to that nursing facility, why, I'd take him to the room where Mother was, and he would say to her, "Do you know who I am?" And she would respond with a love term, a love name that only they knew. And I'll not share that with you. But she knew. And so the Holy Spirit told me, she's waiting on her husband. So I went back in there with Beverly. I stuck my head under that oxygen tape and I said, "Mother, I said, Daddy's already gone." She went to be with the Lord, just like that. Just like that. Mothers, husbands, and mothers of your children are really important. Now, I did not realize what I'm about to tell you. Didn't realize it till last Wednesday afternoon when I was doing the final point of this message. I did not realize this. I did not. I tell you this story because a strange thing happened. I cannot remember a single thing about my mother's funeral. I cannot remember who officiated. I cannot remember who was at the funeral. I cannot remember where it was held. I cannot remember the message. I cannot remember the graveside. I cannot remember a single thing. You see, God has completely blocked it out because it's just too painful, and that was 26 years ago. Beverly's often said to me, "You've never gotten over it." And I suppose I never will. The question is, will you ever get over her passing? I don't think so. I don't think so. I remember the Apostle Paul. He says he was caught up into heaven, whether it was the first heaven or the second heaven, he does not know. However, it's similar to what has happened to me. Over three times over a space of years, sometimes it was after 3 years and then maybe 2 years and then maybe another 4 years, but I had this dream. And the dream is always the same. I am caught away into heaven. Now, I believe it's just a dream. I'll tell you that. But I'm caught away into heaven. And guess what I see in heaven? God takes me so real. He takes me to that mansion. And I see them. I'm laughing in joy. I'm not weeping. I see them there. I see them there. And oh, they're so beautiful. And the amazing thing in heaven, in the dream, we don't communicate by talking. We just know. It's wonderful. I could describe to you the hillside where their mansion is. I could describe to you the large pine trees that are around it. I could describe to you the very mansion that they're in, the little place, the little house that God has prepared for them. And I think, oh God, why did I have those dreams? And I believe, dear God, He gave them to comfort me. He knew I needed to see. I needed to see. I'm reminded of His words again. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Perhaps I should simply close with that passage of Scripture. Not quite, but almost. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, let me say again. The greatest gift you can give to your mother or your father is to have them know that you've given your life to Jesus, and you'll always worship Him be faithful in church. I had a son call me one time when he was in a crisis. He said to me, "Dad, what can I do? And I said, "Son, you need to learn all you can about Jesus." You say, "Well, it's too late. It's too late. My mom's already gone. How can I do that?" I came across this poem. I want to share it with you. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in winter by the window, in summer by the gate. And though we mocked her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Her thoughts were also full of us, she never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be waiting yet. Anxious if we're late, waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we are late, watching from heaven's window, leaning from heaven's gate. That's mom. That's mom. No, it's never too late. And she's looking for down from heaven. She's looking at this very moment. She's going to watch what you do when the invitation is given, whether you're coming to Jesus or not. She's watching whether you're responding to the Holy Spirit having grabbed your heart in this message and squeezed it to make that decision, trusting Jesus as Savior. That's what's going on with you right now. And he's calling you to become like a little child. Like a little child, suffer not to keep the little children from me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, he says. He's trusting, he's asking you to become a little child and trust him as Savior. You see, a child can never be separated from his Creator and his mother. Do you believe that we'll ever see our mothers and our fathers who have gone died in Jesus? Do you believe we'll ever see them again? Do you believe that Christ is able to give us our loved ones that we've lost for a while? Do you believe in the resurrection from the dead? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe that someday we shall see God and live? Do you believe that someday we shall see Jesus? Do you? Do you remember? And do you? If you do, that's what it is to be a Christian. And so, as we get ready now for the invitation, I ask you, won't you accept Jesus today? Won't you find peace in your life, in your heart? You know what Jesus said? He made it really simple. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He wants to carry it. He wants to carry it. But first, you must give your life to Jesus. Let's all stand, and we'll turn to the invitation hymn.
"There's a land that is fairer than day."
Terry, come forward.
A lot of our mothers are over there. Come, please. "A land that is fairer than day. By faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place."
Do you want to see them there? Come on. Come on. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus.
"By and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore."
Trust Jesus. Come on. Do it now.
"In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful..."
You want to meet him? You want to meet him? Come on, trust Jesus. He's the only way.
"We shall sing on that beautiful shore."
Young adult, you've not made that decision today. You need to make it.
"Melodious
songs watching from heaven. Come on.
And our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for that blessed of rest in the sweet..."
One more time. Take a step toward the aisle. The Holy Spirit will bring you. Come on.
"We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore."
Oh, we're going to have fun tonight. Now, tonight, we're going to take a look at the liberal professor, according to Pastor Phil. Now, that's something else. You can't take that to the bank, but it's interesting. It's entertaining. I want to say thank you for being here. This is a wonderful church. It is full of godly mothers and wonderful men. And in just a moment, when I dismiss you, I want you to just do everything you can to let her know how special she is. Will you do that? Father in heaven, I thank you for the love of Jesus that's in this place. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves in the hearts of the people. Thank you for being a living, loving God and giving us mothers who love us nearly as much as you do. I praise your name, Father, for the creation of mothers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Good day and God bless.